This is Kent Clothier. If you are looking to improve your life, improve your business, and just get it all together, you're in the right place. Welcome to the Time Is Now podcast. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Kent Clothier here. Glad you made it for today's episode. You guys are going to love what I've got in store for you. A couple of weeks ago, a really good friend of mine by the name of Billy Jean stopped by the house. We sat on my back patio, basically chatted about business, about life, about entrepreneurship, what it takes to achieve success. This guy is an amazing individual. He is the CEO and founder of Billy Jean Is Marketing, a local company based right here in San Diego. He's a social media phenom. I mean, he is literally working with thousands of entrepreneurs all over the country at this point, all over the world, quite frankly. He's shown a lot of people how they can really change their business and their lives by really embracing social media, YouTube and Facebook, you know, specifically. But even bigger than that, the guy's got a really interesting story. He's a young guy, and by all accounts, probably should not, you know, statistically should not be where he is. But the fact of the matter is that he is extremely bright. He is extremely creative, and he has mastered the art of influence. He's mastered the art of culture, of building a team, of basically entrepreneurship. And he has achieved amazing things very, very quickly in his career. And I'm really excited for you guys to hear this episode. When the episode's done, do me a favor. Make sure you leave us a great review and let me know in particular, let Billy know in particular what meant the most to you. I hope you enjoy the episode.
So, you know, most of them are in the journey right now and they literally have no idea. They're going toe to toe, right? Which we've both been there, but they're in the battle every single day and they're trying to figure out not only how to survive, but how to thrive, right? You and I both know when you find that little thing when all of a sudden you figure out that here's the thing,
it's a switch.
It's a switch. When that domino falls and this is how I scale, the world, a whole new world unfolds. Mm. Most of the people that listen to this have never experienced that, right? Mm. And so my passion, what I'm good at and what I'm passionate about is helping people understand that what it takes to persevere, what it takes to keep pushing, giving them the tools, but the motivation, the inspiration, whatever you want to call it, so they understand that, man, you got to keep pushing. Yep. There is no, you only lose when you stop.
Right.
So that's what I want to talk about.
You can only fail if you quit, baby.
That's what I want to talk about. I mean, because I want people to understand that it isn't about where you are right now. It's about
where you're going.
Yeah. And I think it's a huge deal because I know there's a lot of this out there, but honestly, I don't think it could be said enough. Yeah. Because even I guarantee you have your days.
Yeah, right? I don't want to say every single day, but there's moments.
Right, but even like day, when I sit there and I watch David Goggins, I'm like, oh, dude.
Bro, you realize I had a team huddle up this morning just talking about David Goggins.
That's when you, or even Ed.
Like literally this morning, like this, just this morning.
Or even Ed.
I listened to him last night. I fell asleep with this whole thing on.
When you see a guy like that, you realize there's not only one more level, there are multiple levels.
Our team exercise for the day was everyone stand up, say what you genuinely believe is impossible and how you're going to accomplish it. And that was our whole team huddle up. Every single person, I think 26 people, and everybody rotated in and just said like, hey, like I think it's possible for this or this. I feel like it's really a stretch for this. And everyone said those things that they didn't think could really happen. And it was like amazing, like people were crying.
So without giving any, so what would be an example of like something that you're, was it all personal? Was it all professional?
It ranged. Some people were like, I've always wanted to break a 6-minute mile. And that was the thing. My son was diagnosed with autism and they're saying he's not going this, but I'm gonna prove that differently. It was a sales guy. Hey, I want to have a $300,000 month and I've only done 150. And you know, it was, hey, let's take the company to 100 million. And like, why aren't we there yet? And it ranged for everyone, from everyone it was something different. So it was really powerful, man. It was also too, gives you insight to the team of individuals that you have on a different level, right? Like here's people that we're together every day. We spend a ton of time together, laugh together. But people don't really share stuff like that or think about it.
Certainly.
So it was pretty cool to like see the team react like that. And it was completely unplanned. I had a moment last night when I was listening to David Goggins and I said, holy shit, what am I selling myself short with? And then I talked to them about it openly and I said, well, as a team, why don't we all just share? And then it ended in tears and everybody in a good place.
Man, I, you know, between there's a lot, like I said, there's a bunch of great people out there now. That's the beauty of the internet, is now we're getting exposed to them. You know, it was the cliche when I was a kid, Tony Robbins was basically it. Tony Robbins, Zig Ziglar, and there were a handful of others.
Right.
But man, now you got some people that are whole nother level, right?
And it's cool because it makes everybody be sharp though. You know what I mean? Like everybody be complacent. And then you have a marketplace of where it's competitive. So even the people that really shouldn't have to compete based on their career, they have to too. So you're getting everyone who's forced to put out free shit to stay relevant. So you're getting the best of the best given their shit.
That's actually a really good point.
You know, so it's interesting. So there's a lot of bullshit because now the barrier to entry is so low. Everybody can just start on the fucking phone and say, hey, I'm X, Y, and Z. I did this. And so, you know, it's a little bit of a wild, wild west.
All right. So let's go down that path. Who are the guys? Obviously Goggins, right?
Yeah.
Ed Mylett.
I think there's so many people out there now. I think it's fun because...
Who is yours? Who is the person that you listen to, that you admire, that you're like looking up to, like, man, this is somebody that gets me going, makes me think?
So I am really big on everyone at a different time. And so like I tell our team, and like our community, I said, you should really find the person who's best at solving the problem that's giving you the most dread. So for example, sometimes it may be like, I need to hire, and you should be following the person who talks about they're the hiring queen or king. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes it's the salesperson, right? So it's, you know, sometimes it's, you know, hey, like we're in a sales slump, what the hell am I doing? And you know, you'll look at like, who's ever leading in sales, like my guy, Ryan Stuman, or like, you know, Grant Cardone, or like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you know, it just depends, mm-hmm. right? And so like when we had a conversation, you came to my office, like, immediately you said something that really hit me. As I asked you a question, I said, you know, when you were first getting started to like when you were really scaling, what was the thing that really got something going? And you mentioned how it was a direct mail piece mm-hmm. that you sent out, and you said it worked then, it worked now. Mm-hmm. And for me, that was a takeaway that I needed, because I'm such a creative, I'm always creating new shit, and I'm like, why are we not just using the thing that we have? And so I went back to the team and said, what's our best performing ads? Okay, let's just show it to people who haven't seen it before. We made a big press for international, and then in January, we ended up spending $500,000 on our brand, got more members to our membership site than ever before, because we just went to what fucking worked. Yeah. But that was a little conversation that we had, that you said something that...
But it's just true, right? I mean, and we're all guilty of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're guilty of it in my business today.
Yep.
I mean, I can't tell you how many times we've had the joke of, man, that really worked. God help us if we ever do it again.
It's back.
That's the problem with being creative.
It's a weird psychology, because it's like, why does that happen? But it will put you out of business. You know, like it for us, like it just it's interesting. So for me, who's the person, you know.
Who's the person that motivates you outside of yourself, right? I mean, yeah. I know most successful people, they have an inner game going on.
I told Ed Mylett, we were speaking at the same event, and I got off stage and I went back to the crowd and I wanted to watch. And I saw him talk, and I literally, and I don't even remember the talk, but I do remember my reaction and my feeling. And I went up to him and I said, something right now is just letting me, wanting to tell you, that was the best speech I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Out of anything, any type, any category, anything, the best I've ever seen. And I said, I feel like almost called to help you. I said, I have a different skill set than you, right? Like you've accomplished way more, but one thing I really do know is the social media ad shit. And I said, I don't know how, but I need to help you. So I said, let's hop on the phone and talk. And then I ended up speaking at his event, and I'm speaking at another one he has coming up. But I genuinely, I don't know. So I would say Ed, as far as that, I'm like that motherfucker, like,
I agree with you.
Yeah, right?
I mean, when he spoke at the same event that I had that you spoke at.
Yep.
I've seen a lot of people speak over the years. I've been doing this a long time. And after he got done, I was like, man, to be under the weather or not, quite frankly,
yep.
That was literally the best speech I have ever.
So same thing. You said.
And you know what's interesting? I basically made the same comment to him. It's like, I have no idea what this looks like, but I know we got to be in each other's world, man, right. Because... He is a gift, man.
And
he's genuine.
It's so real, and it puts it in perspective of like, oh, that's what the best in the world at something sounds like or does. You know, like and it's really easy to always compare yourself to like your peers or like other people, but you're like, there are masters at their crafts, and I'm like, okay, humble pie. Like, because when I get on stage, I'm like, I feel like I do a good job. But then I was like, I feel like I got a lot to work on. You know what I mean?
Well, so, I mean, it's different, right? You're very good on stage too. I'll give you that too, right? And it's one of those things where, you know, I did stage for years, yeah. And you gotta be real careful if you're really good at it, because next thing you know, you'll be doing it everywhere, right?
Yeah.
And so that's actually what drove me to get into online marketing.
Wow.
It's because the only way I was making my living was giving speeches, mm-hmm. but I was away from my children so much, I couldn't do it anymore.
How'd that affect you?
It's interesting.
And I'm going to throw some fire on that question, if you don't mind. So you asked about the exercise earlier. Today in the team, a lot of people mentioned balance on my team. And I have an interesting relationship with balance because I don't know that it exists. And people want security and choices for the people that they love, but they also want balance. And what I have found is that to get that, balance does not exist in the traditional way that people think it is. So you've been there and done it. Can you talk about that?
Well, balance, I would argue balance does exist, first off, right? And this is what I mean by that, is that I know when I'm giving 100% of myself to anything. And so if I'm giving, it's okay for me to give 70 or 80% to my business on days. It's okay for me to give 100%. That doesn't mean that I don't have to actually make time for the other things as well, right? I mean, what happens to people, and I was a young guy that was really successful,
yeah.
Like at a level that most people could never even imagine, right? Yeah. Built a $1.8 billion a year sales company, right? And so, but I was really fortunate in that I lost it all. I was really fortunate. I went through a divorce. I was really fortunate that I basically did it at the expense of my family, because it taught me how not to ever do it again.
Wow.
Because
so, you have done it if you didn't?
No, but it didn't matter in the end.
Interesting.
Who gives a shit? You know what? It's a tagline on my resume now. Who gives a fuck? I don't suddenly have more money in my bank account today because I did something 18 years ago. Right. No, I mean, at the end of the day, what happened, though, is it was the lesson I needed to learn. Mm-hmm. That I'm extremely grateful for. I made a ton of money, wow. Lived an extraordinary life, and then through fate, it was all gone like that. I literally lost everything in 22 months. Think about that. Think about being as high as you could possibly be, right? And being as low as you could in 22 months. And so
how long did that take to shift to gratitude, though? Like, I love, I'm just
years.
Talking about it. I was gonna say, because like people are listening and they're like,
oh,
I'm
I was
glad that
pissed.
I lost all this.
Oh,
I'm
no, no. Oh, no, no, no.
And I'm like, I'm not glad.
Let me go
and
tell you, dude, when I was sitting in the fetal position, having an anxiety attack in the middle of an Italian restaurant in Memphis, Tennessee,
wow.
I wasn't grateful.
Right.
Right. When I wanted to put a gun in my mouth because I thought it'd be easier, I was not grateful, I can wow. assure you, right? And never did I ever think that would happen. But what happened was I got into real estate and started doing what I was doing. And my systems, my philosophy just became a tool for me to express myself, just like what you're going through, right? Now suddenly I'm on stages and people want me to speak. And it's through that process of speaking and sharing,
right.
It forced me to talk about something that I would have never talked about.
Wow.
And all of a sudden I was like, well, let me tell you what happened. And then that's where the gratitude came from. Mm. I'm like, man,
I see people react to it.
I couldn't be here. Fun. That's literally what happened. Mm. I'm sitting in front of a crowd and I'm watching them cry and I'm watching them get upset. And I'm like, oh, that's why I did this. That's why all this happened, right? So that nobody else has to go through that. Well, you know, as much as I can prevent somebody from having to be a dipshit, that's why I went through all the pain. Right. I can tell you, man, I got the crap beat out of me a lot.
Well, you said something fascinating right there. You said, yeah, but why the fuck does it matter if you don't have all
those things?
And
because now I can tell you that when you're sitting here now, right? This is what matters, right?
So how do you create a culture where everyone's driven to the mission and understands you have to make sacrifices, you gotta work hard, but still celebrate balance and family? How do you ride that? Because I'm finding that a challenge.
It literally has to be, and I'll just tell you what we've done, right? family is first always. I don't care about anything else, right? Because I promise you, when you realize how fast it can be gone, none of this is real, right? This, all of this is an illusion. You and I are the gatekeepers of this wealth and this machine for the time being. But there were people before us, and there'll be people after us. You get this now, right? And we are at a place where we are successful enough, and we are present enough and intentional enough that we are good stewards of it. Right. And we're doing the right things with it. But the reality of it is money is just passing. It's all it's doing. It's fluid, right? And so if all of that's true, which I can tell you 100% is, then what really matters is the impact you're creating, the relationships, your family, your kids, your wife, you know, everything, all the people around you. You will not be on your deathbed, I promise you, wishing you had more money. But you will almost certainly be there wishing you had more time with the people that you care about.
So devil's advocate on that. So let's talk about the concept of social responsibility. Because I feel like the most celebrated thing in life for most people is family, right? Mm-hmm. And taking care of the family and being with their family and with their own thing. At what point, or who has to be the one that says, because like you had a business, but you know, every business has some kind of purpose where it's helping people, etc. Like, is it ever okay to put your business first?
Of course.
If it's a passion thing that's helping a lot
100%.
Of people. 100%. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, I don't push it on anybody, but I can tell you, either it will call to you or it won't, in my opinion.
That's interesting.
Right? Listen, you could go right now and have a wildly successful agency that never once teaches anybody anything, just like I could.
Yeah.
I can go flip houses all day long, thousands of them, and never teach one person one thing and be just as fun. So I just think through the process of trying to teach somebody, I think that to me is a clear signal that something's in there.
Right.
Okay. And then when you also realize that, I mean, when you realize just how well we've got it, I encourage people to step back all the time. Like back in 2012, I went to Haiti.
How was that?
Oh, bro. It'll change everything about your life. Right?
Like, tell me a little bit about it.
When you go to Haiti or Ecuador, any, you know, Honduras, Panama, any of these places that are really destitute, you will quickly figure out, and Haiti is so poor that it almost doesn't even have an economy, right? Your money almost has no value because there's nothing to buy.
Wow.
Right? Imagine that for a second, right? You know, you have a young daughter. So imagine going to an orphanage and there are 100 kids between the ages of 5 and 10, no parents. And as you're walking through there, they're just begging for water.
Wow.
Water.
Water, not water.
Water, right? And so it's very humbling, quickly helped me understand that I needed to get more involved because I'm good at stuff, right? I'm good at being an entrepreneur. I'm good at solving problems. And so it was a big shift for me because up to that point, I'd never been charitable.
You know, it's funny that you say that because I'm almost, as I'm learning more about psychology, human behavior, I feel like the only time when people do have major shifts is through experience.
Yep.
Like, it's like you can tell us about Haiti all day, but until we put our feet on soil and see that, even you saying it has an impact, right? And that's top of mind. But like,
that's right.
To me, the first thing I want to do right now is like, do a morning huddle up with the team and be like, we're going to do a team trip and we're going to fucking go do something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think that is.
You can go right down to Tijuana, bro. Or you can go right down to Rosarito.
And
it's that close to realize. And you know, the big epiphany is that, to me, everything kind of always boils down to math, right? I'm a marketer, true and true, an entrepreneur. But I always kind of get to the math of it to help my mind wrap around it. And the fact of the matter is that we're in the top 1% of the greatest country on the planet, which means we're in the top 1% of people on the planet.
0.0001.
Yeah, and which means that 99% of the people on this planet would trade places with you or me on our worst day in a second, right? Your worst day, somebody else is praying for it. And that's what really got me. In Haiti, I'll tell you, you know, I went to this village and I saw, you know, the people that I was seeing, they certainly realize they don't have much, but they've never been to America.
Right.
So, you know, this woman is walking me into this village and her home is a blue tarp wrapped around 4 trees and a blue tarp and swept out dirt floor. And I mean, she is very proud. Right.
Wow.
And there is no It is not like she is destitute. Like, this is my home. Welcome, come in, let's eat, right? And very lovely lady, beautiful kids. Well, I'm back at this hotel, 8 o'clock that night, and I'm talking, it was like a cyclone comes through, pouring down rain.
Wow.
And now all of a sudden I'm thinking back. Right? I'm like, man, he's got kids in
what
this.
What do they do in that situation?
Survive. That's the difference, man. There are a lot of people in this world that are just, it's survival. I watched, you know, a woman the next day, we were going to that orphanage, and I watched a woman with a child on the side of the road reach down into a drainage ditch, drink that water. And I'm just like, man, it's just such, it's so shocking to the system that what it does for you is it makes you understand that all of this is just.
Is there an attachment of guilt with that also?
Or what's there's an attachment of responsibility.
Definitely responsibility, but I mean, like, is it guilty at all? Because I think about that sometime, like, you know. Like,
not for me personally. I work hard.
Right.
There's a lot of people that get a lot of opportunity, just like you.
Right.
Right. And it, that doesn't mean that they've done what they're supposed to do with it. No. So I don't feel guilty. What I do, though, is I do feel responsible that people understand that while you're playing that poor, pitiful me little game,
right.
You know, fuck that.
Yeah.
You got air in your lungs, blood in your heart. You can get up. You're in America. You can do something. Get up and do it. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, is why that stuff happens, is because a lot of our problems and stuff that goes on is just manufactured crap that's up here.
99%.
This keeps us from doing what we're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. So that's what a trip like that, or that's what that kind of stuff does for me, is it helps me understand that, man, it's gratitude, but it allows me to, again, kind of do the math and be like, no, you don't get to be this way, right? Your bad day today, somebody else is praying for it. Get out of it right now. Let's go. Make the most out of this. And that's a real easy way to just get going. And regardless of what you're doing, scaling a business, hiring people, trying to solve a problem, whatever. Thank God this is the problem. Thank God this is your problem. Thank God you're not trying to figure out how to find water.
That should be a fucking tattoo.
Right?
At least you're not looking for water.
Amen. It's harsh, dude.
It's powerful shit.
So when I did that, that became my calling, kind of, oh, wow, there's this whole other thing. So we support Charity Water. We support our tribe at Real Estate Worldwide just built an entire village in Haiti. $250,000.
How does that feel? Well,
that's awesome. I mean, we built a village for 40 people, right? They'll never look for water. They'll never look for housing ever again.
Wow.
Because we kind of attached something to what we're trying to do. So back to what you asked me earlier, how do you kind of put stuff forward? That's how I put it forward. It's like, man, this is all great, but at the end of the day, let's not forget, this is bigger than us. We need to be stewards of what we're trying to do.
How many years into working on yourself to get this version of Kent that we're seeing right now?
I'm probably 13 years in. Like, when I was 35, dude, I was a cocky, you know, that's what I think you got to be really careful of when you get money early.
Yeah.
Is that.
Stay humble.
You got to stay humble. I was the greatest thing. I was God's gift to my business. All you had to do was ask me.
Yeah.
I was that guy. Making millions of dollars. Living a very big life.
Now let me flip it on you. Flip it. What's some ridiculous shit that you bought or ridiculous shit that you did when just the money first started coming in? Like, you know what I mean? Like, what's some cool stuff?
You know, my bad.
People ask this question.
I bought all the cars. I bought all the stupid shit. I bought the Ferraris.
Here's
I
the
bought.
Question. Did it make you feel better? A lot of people say, like, cars will make you happy. But was there a time where it did make you a little happy?
The moment you're happy is the moment you actually get the car.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. And you drive it off the lot. That's the greatest moment.
Yeah.
And then about a week later, when you realize, oh, it's just a
car.
My dick didn't get any better, any bigger. Nothing. All of a sudden, I thought was gonna happen. None of that shit happened. I thought this was all gonna be great. None
I
of that.
Always tell people that I'm like, you don't even think about it like it's a car or whatever. However, every now and then, if I do go out to like a nice dinner or something, I'm like, all right, let me take the Ferrari out today. Like that's you know, there's a little.
Well, then I went. I'll never forget. I bought this $15,000 Breitling. And I was so proud of it, and then lost it. Lost it. Like 2 weeks later, misplaced it, gone. I was like, man, I can lose a $15,000 watch just like I can lose a $10 watch. What the fuck? I don't need that.
There's no magical powers.
Yeah, this doesn't come with an alarm. Holy shit. And so, now then I started, you know, when I got my second, you know, lease on life, man, I started going after the experiences more than anything else. So we travel a lot, wake up to this every day.
Yeah.
Like, I'd much rather invest in this kind of shit because it just kind of, oh, we were talking about it earlier, man. When you wake up on the water every day, something's different.
Right.
Right? That's an experience, right? And so I still, man, don't get me wrong. I still like nice cars. I still fly private. You know, I still do nice things.
Yeah.
But it's not, I've figured out that that's not the finish line. Like, none of that shit.
If you lost it all again right now, at this point in your life, would you rebuild it or would you go a completely different direction?
Oh no, I'd rebuild it. Without question, next day. Only, what about you? If you lost everything today, what would you do?
It sounds so ridiculous to even think about the concept because once you're sharp up here and you get it, the fear is no longer losing it. Like you just said, next day, like, if it all went away, okay, I'll just go make some more. Like, you just understand, what do they say? Like, money is the most replenishable energy source on the planet. Just go fucking make more.
Mm-hmm.
And so, for me, I feel like I'm in a place, at least personally, where, like, I understand the basics, the fundamentals of, like, any small business, and I can always drive capital and cash to live how I want. So, I don't know. I don't know if...
When did that big shift happen for you? I mean, when do you go from being a guy that's, you know, hustling to a guy that's building something big? When did that happen for you?
Understanding that my business isn't unique and it's math, like you were saying earlier. I think the more businesses I've been exposed to from the agency side, the consulting side, the growing side, I just realized, like, it's always the same process. Marketing, you gotta have people know who you are. Get them on the fucking phone or, you know, on a sales page and sell them. And then get them coming back, keep them happy, and make sure you're good legally. Like, it doesn't fucking matter what business is, it's all that process. So I figured out that the more I can understand this, the more I can master this, the more different ways I can see this, the more that I understand the tools to make these things go, you can build anything. And then also too, no business exists without marketing. Like, it just doesn't, because people can't buy your shit if they don't know you exist. So the fact that that happens to be my greatest strength, I think gives me that confidence to not really fear that ever losing everything, because I know how to do the thing that everyone needs to do. And then in addition to that, timing, it just happens to be a time where everyone needs to go digital and figure out how to work the cell phone. It happens to be how I learned about business is on that, because I'm 30 now. So everything has always been that. So like, that shift that's happening, I happen to be at the right time and right trend of like where, and it's allowed me to meet really awesome and connect successful people because they built their businesses in a traditional sense. And now that the new tools have come out, they got to connect with someone like me. And it gives me an opportunity to sit in their backyard and pick their brain.
So what's the one thing that could take your business down in the next year? If you weren't careful.
Probably my ego and me. That's the only thing.
So talk about that. I mean, what does that mean? Your ego. So you're starting to so the business has been on this massive upward trend. What, for the last 2 or 3 years, yeah. 5 years? What has it been?
It's been, let's see, I've probably been at it for like a decade, but like 7 years on like the agency, like, you know, this whole thing. I think right now the worst thing I can do is take my focus off of being a student. I think how I got great at this is I am obsessed with marketing. I still sit in webinars and buy courses and pay for consulting all of the time.
Right.
People don't realize I am obsessed with learning because I love it. I genuinely love conversion rates and optimization and persuasive writing and selling on video and position. I love it. So I think the second that I lose sight of that and I stop sharpening my pen or my pencil, I think I can be completely fine.
Yep.
That scares me.
Yep.
Me losing my drive and just being like, oh, the team will take care of it and da-da-da, and me stop being a better version of myself, that would be scary.
Yeah.
You know, that would feel like
I get it.
A wall that I would hit. So I guess why I feel good right now is because I'm not in that zone. But I've definitely had moments where I wake up and I am, and I'm like, fuck this.
Well, just the simple fact that you acknowledge it means that you're not.
I think one thing I've created my own luck with is that I've got the opportunity to hang with a lot of people like yourself. Not a lot of people like yourself, there's only one of you. But I feel like almost every single really successful person I've met has had a moment where they've lost everything or almost lost everything.
Yeah.
And so my awareness to losing everything is super high right now.
Yeah.
And it's almost like a paranoia. And so I'm actively, I got a trust and will set up like a few years ago. I had no idea what that shit was, but someone told me. Someone told me to get whole life insurance. So I got whole life insurance. And like, it's super unsexy, Billy, but it will cause you discipline. Like, so I'm just fucking implementing what I'm learning. And it's making me feel better. And I stay, not like stressful, but like paranoid about losing it all and make sure I don't fucking put myself in spot.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you've got the right attitude, right? You're a young guy. And I think that's an asset. I mean, if I had to go back and give my 30-year-old self the advice, that's pretty much what I would say. Stop believing your own bullshit. Mm-hmm. You're never as good as you think you are, right?
And there's other people who are better, right? Like, there's someone who's better than me at every single thing.
And just don't ever forget it, right? I mean, that's the blessing and the curse, because you have to exploit it, because we live in an amazing time where if you don't, and you have a gift, other people need to hear it, right? And a message, but you also have to be really humble and just remember how fast it could all change. I mean, I had to actually go through it.
Right.
Like, I was your age. March 14th, the year I turned 30, March 14th was the day I walked out the door. So that's 19 years ago. Yeah. I walked out of that business, and it took me 22 months to lose everything. And I had millions, bro.
And it just...
I thought I knew more than I knew. And so now,
asking in addition to that, so like if you're me right now, you know, I'll give you the situation, right? Like, team of 25, I think we'll do about 16 mil this year. We feel good. We feel like our brand's on point, like our mission's on point, all the shit. What advice would you give me on the business side strategically to scale to 100 million? And our mission right now is to build a school, teach entrepreneurship they can't learn in college.
What is the best advice I would give you to
like
build?
Like, when you saw that jumping again, I have no idea what it even looks like to go to a billion.
But you know,
those major levers.
I mean, to your point, once you understand what the levers are, once you understand what the math is, it's just putting more fuel in the fire. So you already got that, right? You know what you have to do. It's just adding more fuel, adding the resources to support the revenue and the sales that come through, right? That process. Right. I would tell you, do not diversify.
Now, look, that's, you hear everyone talk about diversify. What is
that? Do not get off of what you're doing, okay? You know, if I'm looking back on the businesses that I own today, we have too much going on, right? It hurts us, it doesn't help us. We have built an entire ecosystem for my students, right? If they want to buy houses, if they want to buy training, if they want to buy software and tools, if they want to invest in our fund, I mean,
right.
You know, if you think about like Cardone, who has kind of this entire ecosystem. We very much have the same kind of ecosystem. But unfortunately, when that a byproduct of that is not everybody clearly understands the marching orders every single day. This is where we want somebody to come into our world, right? And so you end up fighting that battle. As you add staff, as you add people, as the messages start to get a little, as you're dealing, and we're doing native advertising on this or that or whatever, and the message starts to get watered down a little bit. And so we've course corrected all that stuff, but that was a big learning lesson for us, is that we thought we were doing the right thing by adding these assets.
If you could do one thing, would it just be like simplify to one product, one service? Like,
we are amazing at giving people the tools, the software to actually buy and sell houses, right? Mm. I would argue we're the best at it. So real estate investors, if they want to buy and sell houses, we give them the data, the marketing, the tools, everything. It's all in one wrapped up package, put a bow on it, literally press a button, and we'll give you all the leads and the tools you need to do business.
If that was the sole focus for the last 20 years, what do you think the company would be now versus, you know what I mean?
I don't know that it would necessarily, you know, it could easily be probably twice the size that it is, right? But kind of like what we're talking about earlier, the creative is always grabbing at it a little, hey man, but a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and just don't do it. you know, you guys, you when you and I spent time together a couple months ago, yeah, you know, you've got the one thing you're trying to drive them through, the one pipe, the one mission. Talk about it for a second. That way, everybody.
Yeah, man, it's simple. Like for me, it was, I always felt like the good education has always been positioned as, and we were talking about before the interview today, as like only kind of the elite or the super intelligent could get access to. Like if you look at the traditional education system, like Harvard or Stanford, bro, I got a 2.8. I was not getting in.
Right, right.
Anything close. And then there's the 200.
And apparently if you wrote a check for $6.5 million and bribed somebody, you could have got in, but
yeah, right.
Who knew?
So wasn't gonna happen. And you know, so for me with the gene pool, it was like, hey, I have an opportunity here to make good education, not just good education, tactical education that fucking almost no college in the world will fucking teach you. And I can make it cheap so that even somebody, no matter what color they are in the hood, can get access, if they have a fucking computer and a laptop, to the best stuff. Social responsibility. Mm-hmm. I got a duty to do that.
Yep.
Both my parents grew up on welfare. Like, if I could have gone back in time and handed them this resource, I could have impacted somebody. So it became clear for us in the company, it's $109 a month. That's what it is. And we sell one other thing besides that, which is 5K every 6 months. If somebody wants to get like additional support and come into that level, meet with us twice a year, and that's it. And that's our sole thing. And we even had to decide, because on the agency side, I had so many damn clients. And then we were building a school thing. And even just being pulled in those two different directions was super hard. I just started sucking at the agency, losing clients I shouldn't have. And then the education thing, I was not creating the content I needed to them. Everything was off, because there was just too much shit going on, as you were just saying. So I'm listening, I'm like, yeah, so here we are, and that's our sole mission. And now the question is, even with the two programs, I'm thinking about eliminating the high ticket one and going all in on just the low one and just combining them and giving them all the resources the 5K at. Now, I don't know if that's the smartest thing to do or what it is, but that's a real contemplation that's in my head. And what? I don't know, and I'll actually ask you, like, have you found, because a lot of people say, hey, you can't make a business with just having like a low ticket offer or whatever it is. And you need the high ticket. And there's a lot of profit that comes from having the high ticket option. So I don't know, I guess.
Well, most high ticket stuff has to do with increasing customer value so that you can buy media better, right? Think about it. Most smart media or companies like ours, that's the reason you throw a high ticket. The margins are good, but it also helps spread that media cost. If you know every 20th customer, you're gonna be able to pop them and get $5,000 and help that person, you know, you've just added $400 to every one of those sales, right? And so that helps you buy media a lot better. And so to me, I think it makes a lot of sense to have that $5,000. I think it brings a lot of value. And I think it also makes it easier for you to acquire more customers. You and I both know that who can afford to pay the most for the customer wins.
And the prices are only going up right now.
Right, so at $109, I mean, depending on your attrition rate, you have absolutely created a cap, right? If they stay in for 10 months, it's $1,000. Something less than $1,000 is what you can afford to spend, but not anymore, right? And so having that high ticket kind of allows something like that to happen. So I like that, but I love the fact that you got out of the agency. I know how hard that, I literally know how hard that was. You know, that had to been tough to just walk away from revenue.
It was really hard because it was like, there's just money coming in every month. And I would like, yeah, you know. And there's a lot of things about the agency model that I just absolutely love, because I love learning about new businesses and getting my hands in there. And then there's a side that's more challenging where, you know, what is the stat? 83% of businesses go out of business within the first 3 years.
Yep.
So your chances of getting a client that's going to go out of business is high.
Yeah.
And so I realized with the agency game, so really when I was loving it the most was when I was being picky with my clients. Anyone who's doing a marketing agency or anything, the best thing you can do for yourself is be grossly picky with your clients and only work with people that you really, really love and ones that you really, really know you can help. Because anything outside of that, that's the whole
man,
thing.
Man, that
up.
Is such
it fucks the whole thing up.
It's crazy, right? You just invite cancer into your world.
And it only takes is one. One bad one that takes up all your time. And you always choose them out of desperation. You had a slow month, somebody waves money at you, you take the fucking money. You take desperate money and your whole thing gets fucked.
You chase
like
money.
Like clockwork, like every time.
So don't chase money, right?
Never.
When you chase money, money runs.
Never do it. You think you're solving the problem, don't do it. If you have to fucking, you know, be late on your, if your credit's gonna go down, you have to make a late payment, it's better than the peace of fucking mind that's gonna go from taking on the client that you really don't need. Find a different way to solve the problem.
Like, I love that. You know, when you told me that a few months ago that you had walked away from the agency business, I never told you this, but that was really impressive to me based on what I just told you,
yeah.
right? Because I've been there, right? And I knew how all these different revenue streams we had added over the years. Mm-hmm. And then ultimately, some of them we had to go back and cut because we're like, man, this is a distraction. This is bullshit. And knowing how challenging that is to do when you have to do that.
And knowing we still have the option. Like when I meet really cool people, now I get to come at the agency and only choose people that like, not only can I like get money from, but I can get value from. So like for me on the agency side, if we do anything like that, it's custom work for partner. Like if you're like, hey, let's team up with something, I'm like, that's cool because there's going to be something I'm going to learn that's going to supersede the amount of money. You know what I mean? And so that would be like, it's just freedom. You know,
let me
get into business anyway, right? It's for the freedom of it.
100%. I'm going to change gears on you for a second because in your office, very prominently, you have your core values, right? So talk to, I want people to hear because, you know, you may have experienced the same thing. You know, the vast majority of the people that watch this or hear this are never going to be in your office or they're never going to be in my office.
Yeah.
And so when we talk about our core values and how much it means to us and all this, certainly to new entrepreneurs and certainly people that are thinking about becoming entrepreneurs, it sounds like complete horseshit.
Oh my God.
They don't understand the value of what we're talking.
I hear that, I'm like, shut up.
Right?
Guys, tell me, like, there's so many people who are listening to this right now and you're saying, but like, give me the button to press.
Right.
Give me the landing
the tactical.
Page that converts. Give me this and let me be fucking clear. That's a component of it and you do have to know all of that, which you'll learn and you'll figure out and that shit's easy. But like core values is a real fucking thing and I'll give it to them in a tactical way that I think makes sense. So what happens is when you're building your company and you have a team or you guys have an organization, you are only there in working with your team for so much amount of time. You may be like doing other shit, right? Speaking, focus on strategy, whatever the hell it is. So for me, the core values are the way to manage, govern, and uplift the community when you're not there.
Oh, I love that.
And for everybody listening, it's like people grow your organization. It's not your partner, it's the fucking people. So when you're not there, how can you still live within that and make sure everyone's on the same fucking page? And what happens is when you don't have core values, you end up arguing with people because it sounds like this. If you do something I don't like and it's not like written down or anything, I just go like, Kent, what the hell, man? Why did you do X, Y, and Z? And you're like, well, what the hell? How am I supposed to know? And then we get into argument and it always ends bad. But if you do something and I go, hey, what's core value number one? It's like this governing rule that's not you, it's not me, it's what we believe in, and it becomes much easier to acquiesce and get on board, etc. In addition to that, when you're hiring and when there's all these job applications out there and you can have your core values inside of your fucking job application or job posting, and people should be able to look at your core values and say this, yes, that's me, or oh my God, that's horrible, I'm out.
Right.
And it's gonna help you attract the right talent. And in addition to that, you realize is when your company's first starting, you don't have the money to hire the people you really want. Later, you realize money can't buy leadership because those people that talented can get money anywhere. So vision and your values and your purpose is the only thing that drives people. And so you realize to attract the right people at all levels in the company, you gotta have the values. And values aren't like, you know, the shit that you would Google and see core values of a company. Our core values is like number zero. Don't make excuses, make it happen. Because in a company, many times when you're doing a project, it's like, ah, shit, I can't do that right now, da da da. Shut the fuck up and make it happen,
yeah.
Period. That's our core value. Or core value number one, that's number zero. We actually have a number zero. Core value number one, everything is my fault. And this one's beautiful because let's say you and I are doing a project and we're answering to our boss. And her boss says, what happened, you guys? You didn't hit the objective. Well, I'd be like, well, Kent was supposed to do this. And you'd be like, no, Billy was supposed to do this.
I love that.
And I'd be like, no, fuck you. And we would go back and forth and argue. And man, I'd be like, stop. But if it's everything is my fault, I go, you know what? I could have done a better job. Kent, I should have reminded you.
I should have documented.
And you go, no, no, Billy. I should have. And now we're collaborative versus combative.
Love that.
So there's strategic and tactics within those when you guys really understand them. You know?
The reason I shifted to it is because that's how you actually fire shitty customers also.
That's a massive
one. Right? Think about it. Because people will sit there and like, well, that's good. You know, okay, how do I walk away from money? That's how.
Yes.
That's how. It's because at the end of the day, if we're having to compromise anything about us to try to squeeze this person in, that's not who we are.
Wow.
And so I can tell you, that's why I shifted on it, because I know the next natural question when people hear us talking about oh, well, yeah, you know, I'm just trying to make 10 grand or 5 grand or whatever and trying to figure out if it's the right. First off, there's a massive difference when you're hustling, mm-hmm. right? And you're trying to just figure out whether you can do this, right? Trying to make your first 100, 200 grand and to where you finally, oh, I got it. Now how do I turn it into a business? When you're trying to turn it into a business is when we're talking about.
Rules change.
Rules change, right? You go from a hustler to entrepreneur. And when you shift to entrepreneur, the same person and the same skill set that got you here, that will not get you there, yeah. right? That guy actually has to die.
And here's why I think people shift entrepreneur. Because for me, like, I didn't start my business with this idea of, like, I want to change the world and the education system. I was like, no, I want to live in my mom's house. I want to do whatever the fuck I want.
Absolutely.
I want to make money and I want to fucking party. And here's what you learned real quick. Because I got to the point, I'll never forget it. I was living in Little Italy. I had my one bedroom loft. I was, you know, doing my thing. I thought I was the man. I had enough money to go out, go to dinners, have fun with my friends. Shit was cool. And I thought I was like, that was it. And then I found myself countless times coming home being lonely as shit.
Yep.
And being unhappy as shit. And I'm like, what's wrong? What's missing? So I would challenge that any solopreneur that thinks all I need is this, I give you 3 months, 6 months max till you get the fuck over it and you want to do something that has more impact, more fulfillment. So I promise you, even though you're like, nah, I'm good forever like that, no, you're not. No, you're not. I don't know anybody who's happy doing that just like
No, it doesn't matter where you go, you're still there. So all money does just make it worse.
Yeah.
Just makes it more expensive to be you.
Yep.
that's all that happens, baby. Exactly. Right. And so I totally agree with that. So that's the reason I wanted to touch on it, because that gives you the rules, the rule book, if you will, mm-hmm. to walk away from shitty situations yeah. and to help other people do the same. And that's...
And same with core values for yourself.
Totally, brother.
So like something, shout out to Jim Bunch, one of my coaches, but like, he's like, yeah, you have core values for business, but do you have core values for yourself to identify what you should have in your life and what you shouldn't? And I'm like, no, I don't have that. It sounds stupid. What are you talking about? Da da da. And so anyways, we ended up doing this little exercise to identify them. It's really powerful. But I'll give you a couple of mine. One was my number one core value for me was safety and security for the people that I love. And the second core value was having fucking fun experiences.
Amen.
And there's a few other ones and all these things. And I just thought about it, like every time in my life where I wasn't feeling good, one of those five boxes wasn't checked. It was almost every, like, when they talk about being in alignment, that's what it meant, is like, literally. And then when I thought about the happiest times of my life, all of those boxes were checked. Safety, secure, people I love, having fun experiences, social responsibility, like all of these things. And I was just like, holy shit.
Well, it's being present.
Yeah.
Right? It's being intentional. It's actually thinking about what you're trying to do here. I mean, what I'm going to say is the rule, not the exception, right? Okay. I love the fact that your coach brought you in and made you do it personally as well, because I can't even tell you how many people I know that have got the business side of it all dialed in yeah. and their fucking personal life is a disaster,
yeah.
right? Shitty marriage, doing drugs, whatever's going on. And you're just like, dude, you're so incongruent. I don't understand how you can be that way. And so I love the fact that, go ahead.
I was gonna say, to piggyback off of you, what I also learned from that, and it was a major shift for me, and maybe it will be for anyone listening, but it was new to me. I just heard it recently. And it was, you don't create your business to live your life. You design your life and then you design your business.
That's right.
Like it wasn't the other way around. I might have said that.
Live a life by design, period.
Yeah.
The business is there to serve you.
And you forget it though, right? Yeah. Like at least for me, like coming up with this journey, I was like, I'm all business. All I care about is business. All I know is business. I sleep in business. And I was like, oh shit, this is why I'm coming home fucked up sometimes.
Well, that's why, you want to know what I learned? That's what I learned. That's the humble pie, baby.
Yep.
And I learned it I had to swallow a massive pill,
yep.
but that was the big epiphany. It was two big things for me. How fast, and that's what I mean by how fast it could be gone.
Right.
Right? When you figure out that, holy shit, dude, I designed this entire, I lived night and day. I took pride. I was the obnoxious dick that was, I want to be at the office at 5 a.m. Mm-hmm. and I don't want to leave till 10 p.m. I don't want anybody to beat me there or be, I took so much pride in being that guy. And in the end, it was, I made a ton of money. It was great, all that. But the lesson I walked away was, oh man, I'm glad I did that because I never want to be that guy again. It's unnecessary, right? I can actually have a more fulfilling life. I can have a business that serves me. I can actually carve out the time. Like, I know your daughter's extremely important to me, right?
Yeah.
Hats off to you carving out the time for your daughter. The same way I did for my kids, like, right?
She's here right now.
She's here right now, right? And so it clearly says this is family time. You do not schedule one thing before 9:30 in the morning.
I love that.
And everybody's like, what? I was like, no, dude, I go to the gym. I meditate. I walk my little girl to school. I hang out. This, and what do you know? I still live my best life. It didn't cost me anything. And in fact, probably helped me because it gives me that balance.
Yeah.
That's where I come back to the balance thing we were talking about earlier. That's what it matters. Because I can tell you, you know, you see that I have a 13-year-old and a 5-year-old, and I have a 26-year-old son, by the way, okay? And that it will go by so fast. And we all hear this. But dude, you're gonna look up and be 40 before you know it.
I can't believe she's 3.
And she's gonna be 13, like my 13-year-old. And so to be present now, that's balance. To not take 1 minute of it for granted is balance. And that's what you're doing. You're really intentional with it. And that's the advice I would give. If I had to go back and talk to my 30-year-old self, it'd be, dude, don't go through all the hardship to learn that lesson. Just learn the lesson, right? just be present. Be intentional. You don't have to be in a hurry to get anything. You can have it all right now. Just be cool. Slow down.
You already have it all.
Absolutely.
The other thing, too, is, so when me and my ex broke up, it put me in a spot where before it was like when the three of us were together, my daughter, I really put the work on her, right? Like, she took care of it, and like I got to kind of come in, say hi, and I didn't have to be present.
Man, I so relate. I so relate.
Then you take this last year, and it's just me. I come home, and it's just me and her.
Yep.
She's like, "What's up, Daddy? What do you want to do?" I'm like,
yeah.
The fuck am I supposed to do right now?
She doesn't give a shit how many memberships you signed up. How many? She doesn't give a shit about it yet.
We're playing pretend.
Billie Jean ain't marketing there, baby. No, Billie Jean's dad.
Real shit. And so it has been the most learning. I've never learned so much in a year ever. And it's also, too, made us so much closer.
I love it.
So even like everyone, you can outsource most things. Don't outsource the relationship with your children. And it is the little things like, you know, we'll do like bath time or like, you know, cooking dinner or like, but I never fucking cook for myself anything but her. I'm like, I do all those things. And like, what I've learned, the biggest thing is to integrate. And that word is big to me. So in other words, when I'm just doing the cooking by myself for her, it feels like, I'm working and I'm doing something, but I'm doing it for my daughter, but it's still work. But then when I made the switch and said, hey, come here, let me show you how to cook. And we're cooking together, now it's fun. Now
I love
we're
that.
Connecting. Now, you know, it's, hey, daddy's gotta do this work thing. Actually, sit in my lap. Let me show you how the computer works. Give her a keyboard. Let her bang on a keyboard. All of a sudden, I'm finding it doesn't have to be the separate thing. It can be this thing that we do together and still get stronger. And once I've, that word, integration, just think about, guys, how can you integrate and how can you make it fun? And so even her kid activities, I try and find a way for me to love it too. So that way I can genuinely be present as opposed to forcing myself on some bullshit. It's like, hey, what can we do? Okay, so we went to the Harlem Globetrotters game. That was fun for me and fun for her.
Mm-hmm.
So it's forced me to be creativity and really think about how do I want to spend my time with my daughter. So for anyone out there, if you're having a hard time separating finances, time, bring it together and do it in a way where you're still making them the priority.
That's really good advice, man. That's really good advice.
I'm learning it. You know what I mean? So.
All right, last question, then we'll wrap this up. So, all right, we've talked about our kids. I know I'm asking this because it's a personal thing, right? So my little one wants to be on YouTube so bad she can't stand it. It's going to come. Right?
Yeah.
Dad's on. My little one thinks I'm famous because she sees me on videos everywhere. The same thing's going to happen to you.
My daughter, because she doesn't talk that well, but when she sees me on, like, she's seen a billboard, she's seen me on, like, all over the computer. So she goes, Billie Jean. She'll call me daddy. But when she sees me, she goes, Billie Jean.
Oh, that's so cute.
It's funny that she picks that up, though.
Would you be okay if she wanted to be a little child YouTube star?
No.
Perfect. I'm just checking.
Let me be extremely clear. I told my family, everybody, I said, she's not going to be a fucking Gerber baby. She's not going to be anything. I see this Instagram shit. Too much ass out. None of that. She's staying.
My kids aren't even on social media. I won't even let them on.
Yo, I'm telling you, I'm so far away from that. Now, if she...
How ironic is this?
But hold on. It depends on what her YouTube channel is about, right? Like, watch this. I would have to direct it, oversee it. Like, I don't know, right? Because then at the same time, it's like, I can give her a big advantage. You know?
Of course you can.
You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, what's this kid, Ryan, that's just making $26 million a year opening toys?
I don't know how I'm navigating. I'm going to call you. I'm like, what should I do? So, whatever you decide.
I struggle with this.
Before me. So I don't.
Right there. Troublemaker.
Superstar.
I struggle with her all the time.
Too funny.
All right, brother. Well, if people want to get in touch with you, connect with you, want to become a part of your program, where should they go? Let's tell people how to get in touch with you.
Honestly, go to billyjeanismarketing.com and we will pixel you. And I will sell you so much stuff online. You'll never stop seeing my ads until the end of time. Just billyjeanismarketing.com. You'll go through the experience and we will not let you go.
Bro, so, I love it.
And follow us on Instagram.
I appreciate you coming over here, hanging out with me, sharing.
And thank you. That was a fun conversation. Like almost every single time I'm on a podcast or anything, it's almost all tactics. So it was kind of fun to talk about the shit that matters, we'll say.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, the tactical stuff, I would argue, if people don't understand how to get this right, the tactical stuff is irrelevant.
I would agree with that 1,000%.
Because
then I would piggyback with it. You still have to learn the tactical shit, but you're right. If this is not right and you have to,
it's like building a house on quicksand. I mean, it's only if you take a poisoned mind or a mind that's not ready to be successful and you try to go give them a bunch of tactics on how to be great at Facebook, it doesn't matter.
Nope.
You got to get this right first.
100%.
Appreciate it, bro.
Dude, that was great.
Thank you.
By the way, Ken's house is fucking sick. Go.
Peace. We'll see you guys.
Love you guys.
Hey, thanks again for tuning in to today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. If you haven't gotten signed up yet with one of our award-winning products, I would invite you to go to reww.com. Check it out. Whether you're looking for advice on entrepreneurship, you're just looking for access to our Real Estate Investing Academy, whether you want to attend one of our upcoming live events, everything you need is right there. Plenty of videos, plenty of free training, plenty of access to software and tools that will help you to become a really successful real estate investor. Again, everything is right on the site at reww.com. You can also check us out at kentclothier.com. And by the way, if you haven't got signed up yet for our upcoming Scale and Escape event happening June 6th, 7th, and 8th in San Diego, you need to go ahead and get that done. This is a big event. We've got some big badass entrepreneurs that are going to be there, going to show you exactly how to scale not only a real estate business, but any business and crush it from this point on. I've got Jesse Itzler, Bedros Koulian's going to be there. I've got Justin Colby, Sean Terry, Chris Clothier, Ryan Stuman, myself, and many, many, many others are going to be there. Roughly, we've got 12 of some of the highest profile entrepreneurs that you're going to see anywhere, all there to share their ideas and their strategies and how they have achieved their ultimate success. The entire event is only limited to 300 people, so make sure you're one of those 300. Get your seats booked. Again, June 6th, 7th, and 8th in San Diego. We'll see you there. The way you do it is go to scaleandescape.com. Peace.